Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. And it's great to see some familiar faces coming back to visit the Albany area. And of course, we pray for those who are away, those college students who are away for their break as well. So for today, we're going to be taking a break from our sermon series through the book of James, because I think, of course, during this Christmas season, we want to be able to focus our hearts and be reminded about the birth of Jesus Christ during this Christmas season and the significance of it. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them out. Please turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to be reading from verses 8 to 20. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you can look along with your neighbor, or there should be a Bible in the pews in front of you. The Gospel of Luke, again, chapter 2, reading verses 8 to 20. Please follow along as I read, starting from verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known that the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we want to continue to praise you, especially during this Christmas season. I know every year Christmas can come by and go, and it can be a very stressful time for some of us. But Lord, help us to know how we can glorify you. Help us to know how we can focus our hearts back onto you and not forget and lose about the whole meaning of Christmas. Father, I know that we need this reminder every year, and actually, in fact, we need this reminder every single day of our lives. So, Father, help us to see how you are glorified from this passage. Help us to see how you have acted and changed the lives of these shepherds who have heard the announcement from your messengers, these angels. Father, we want to lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So for today, we're going to be answering one main question in this passage. And the question is this: how is God glorified through Christmas? Okay, so if you'd like to take notes, maybe write down this question. How is God glorified through Christmas? And from the passage, we'll see that there are three ways in which God is glorified. And as we know, Christmas isn't about us. It isn't about getting gifts, and isn't about Santa Claus. Christmas isn't a time of the year when, like, there's this capitalistic marketing scheme that's going on. But rather, of course, Christmas is a time when we want to come before God and glorify him. We not only glorify God, but we also want to see God being glorified. No, to glorify God means to acknowledge God's greatness and splendor and his holiness through, of course, our worship and our praise. And as I mentioned during the prayer, I think a lot of times many of us can just go through Christmas every single year and we just forget about glorifying God. We lose the meaning of it. We forget about what God has done in our lives, and we forget about Christmas and how it can seem very meaningless in our hearts. So how can we overcome this feeling of meaningless and just going through all the motions every Christmas time? Well, let us see what God has to teach us today concerning how we can glorify God and, of course, how we can see God being glorified. So again, we're answering the question, how is God glorified through Christmas? And in the passage, we'll see three ways for that. So to begin, I want to ask a question for all of you. If you were to make a big announcement about something, okay, maybe something great has happened to you in your life and you want to announce about it, how would you go about doing it? What would you do? Maybe you got into your top choice for the college. Of course, you want to let people know about it. Or maybe you finally graduated. Or maybe you got an A in that hard course. Or maybe you finally got that promotion you always wanted. Or maybe finally you're getting engaged or you're getting married. Or maybe you recently had a child. How would you go about announcing something big that is happening in your life? So as you know, earlier this month, my daughter, Olive, was just born. You see, you guys are sort of expecting this, okay? I already said that 90% of my sermons will be about my children, okay? So I have a whole source of a sermon illustration for that. But like, how did I announce the birth of my child? I went on WeChat, like, went through all the groups and messaged everyone, and also like a little bit in Facebook, and I texted people personally as well. You know, I let people know when Joyce was going into labor, give them updates along the way, and of course asking for prayer as well. And then when Olive was finally born, then of course I let everyone know again, let them know how much he weighed, what time it was. It was 3:02 p.m. on December 1st, 6 pounds, 15 ounces. But you know, that I didn't reveal her name right away. Because I know that's the anticipation for everyone, because we have kept this a secret for many months, and even after the baby was born, like, people wanted to know what it is. Oh, how did I announce the name of my baby? So I did something very subtle. I posted a picture of just an olive without any context. It's on Facebook, it's on WeChat, and like, some people got it. Some people were smart enough to say, oh, yeah, your daughter's name is Olive. And some people were debating between, oh, is it Olive or Olivia? And then, like, Dennis was like, oh, it has to be Olive, knowing how Ivan is. But anyways, this is how I went about announcing the birth of my child and announcing her name. And I did it through social media. Why? Because I wanted to reach as many people as possible and as quickly as possible. So I think when we want to make a big announcement about something, this is what we usually want to do. We usually use social media, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, to announce something, to get as many people as possible to know about it, and for them to know as quickly as possible. And let's say even if you didn't want to go that route, let's say that you wanted, before telling everyone, like, who would you tell first? You want to announce about something big to people who are closest to you, right? Or people who really mattered in your life. Or people who you know, can count on in helping to spread the news and spread the message. You know, think about how you would make a big announcement about something big that is happening in your life. And as we know, in this passage that we have read this morning, God, over 2,000 years ago, made a big announcement. He was going to announce the birth of his one and only son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who would one day be the Savior of the world. And this is what the Old Testament had prophesied for many, many years, and even thousands of years. And the Jews had been eagerly awaiting for the coming of the Messiah for this long. And finally, it was happening. Finally, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is coming, and I was going to be born. Would you read with me, starting from verse 8 in this passage? And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Jump over to verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So how did God go about announcing the birth of his one and only son, Jesus? No, he sent angels. No, in Greek, the angelos means messengers. No, so of course, God used angels to deliver this good news. There's no amount of advertising, no amount of like public relations, PR, or like a human effort that can really compare to the effectiveness of God's angels. And of course, it wasn't just one angel. Now, God could have just effectively used one angel to communicate the birth of his son, the good news, but he used thousands of angels. And through that, God's glory was present when the angels appear. It was God's beauty of his spirit that manifested in all of his attributes, in infinite in goodness, infinite in holiness, infinite in goodness and pleasure, and anything that you can be able to think of that is good in character. God's glory is manifested in all of that. And this is something that's really powerful and really overwhelming, especially if you are in the presence of God. Now imagine if you're one of the shepherds and all of a sudden, boom, angels appeared everywhere. How would you fear, or how would you feel about that? Again, God had this message of the coming of his son, Jesus, as the Savior. And he had created all this preparation, and he sent all the angels to make this announcement. But after doing all of this work, who did God first make this public announcement to? And according to the scripture, we see that God made this announcement to just some poor, measly, dirty shepherds who were just watching their flock at night. Now you may think about it. Does this make sense at all? Here we are. God, he wants to make an announcement about his son, the Savior of the world, and who he's going to first tell? Some poor, measly, dirty shepherds. You know, we talked about how if we were going to make an announcement about something big in our life, we want to first tell people who are important in our life. We want to tell people who we care about. Tell people who would be effective in proclaiming this message. But wouldn't it make more sense for God to have made his proclamation, this announcement to some kings or some political leaders of in this world first? Why did God first announce about the birth of his son, Jesus, to poor, measly, and dirty shepherds? Well, you have to understand, shepherds during this time were socially looked down upon. You know, they worked with dirty sheep, and which made them ceremonially unclean. And they were essentially the rejects of the society because they're often associated with people who steal and are not to be trusted. Out of all the people, why did God announce it first to these shepherds? He did so to bring himself glory. So let's answer our question. How is God glorified through Christmas? Here's the first way. Number one, God is glorified through Christmas by choosing the undeserving. God is glorified through Christmas by choosing the undeserving. See here, God chose these undeserving shepherds to hear about the good news and the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And he did so to bring glory to himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 and 29, it says this: "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." God chose undeserved shepherds. And I think all of us can relate to these shepherds. We can identify with them because sometimes we may be seen as lowly. Sometimes we may be rejected by other people. Sometimes we feel very lonely and not loved. You know, in a sense, all of us are undeserved because all of us have sinned. All of us are sinners and have done wrong before God, and there is nothing in us that is of worth in God's eyes. We are undeserved. But yet, even though we aren't of any worth, and even though we are sinners, God still chose to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, this Christmas message, to us because he cares for us, because he knows that we need it, because he wants us to be reconciled in our relationship with God. We are undeserved people. God chose to proclaim the good news to undeserved people, as we've seen as he proclaimed to these undeserved shepherds. Again, how is God glorified through Christmas? And as we said, number one, God is glorified through Christmas by choosing the undeserving. Let us continue on. Start reading with me from verse 8 again. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So whenever an angel appears to someone here in Scripture or in the Bible, actually a couple of things happens. First, you notice that there are people who would be very frightened and very scared. They would really cover their face and even bow down because the angel is so bright and they don't want to be, in a sense, be consumed by the glory of God. But at the same time, what would the angel say? The angels would say, "Do not fear." Let's read verse 9. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Verse 9, and they were filled with great fear. In Greek, this phrase, they were filled with great fear, it's an emphasis on how great the fear the shepherds had. And actually, it can be translated as they feared a great fear. Again, emphasizing just how scared that they must have been in this type of situation. So what are some of the things that we fear in this life? So I did a couple of research, and I found out about some weird and unusual phobias that are out there. So maybe you guys can guess and try to identify some of these phobias. So how about altophobia? What is that? Altophobia is the fear of heights. What about arachnophobia? That one seems easy. Yeah, the fear of spiders. Leucophobia. That is the fear of the color white, apparently. So if someone has this fear, they must be afraid of snow or something. Get this one. Sinophobia. This is the fear of Chinese people and fear of Chinese culture. Clinophobia. It's a fear of going to bed, apparently. But anyways, in all seriousness, there are people who do struggle with these types of fears. But they're real fears in people's lives. And I know that a lot of us have our own fears in ourselves. Some of us may fear death. Some of us may fear to be alone. Some of us may fear not being loved and not being accepted. We may be fearing failure. Think about it. What did the shepherds feel when they had seen the angels? They felt fear. But what did the angels say to them concerning the good news, this message that was proclaimed to them? Again, read verse 10 again. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." There's a reason why we are not to fear, no matter what we fear. Is it the good news of Jesus Christ being born? One day he would come and he would die on the cross for our sins. And this fact, this act, in fact, that was unintended. This act, in fact, should bring us great joy and overcome any fears that we may have. When you dwell upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, does this bring you great joy? Does this help you overcome any fear? And does this help you overcome any sin that you could be struggling with right now? Let's answer our question again. How is God glorified through Christmas? Here's the second way, second point. God is glorified through Christmas when the good news of Jesus brings us joy. God is glorified through Christmas when the good news of Jesus brings us joy. You see, there is peace and there is joy from knowing that a Savior loves us. The coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is actually very significant. Nothing can be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into this world. He is fully God, and he is also fully man. And he came into this world as a man to be able to identify with us, to identify with man, so that he can be our savior. Jesus didn't come into this world as an angel to identify with angels because he didn't come to save angels. Jesus didn't come in the form of an animal to identify with animals because he didn't come to save animals as well. He came in the form of a man to be a savior of man. And as a man, Jesus identifies and he understands everything that we have experienced and gone through in this life. Jesus knows what it's like to be lonely. He knows what it's like to be rejected by friends. He knows what it feels to be hungry and to feel sleepy or to feel hurt and to feel pain. Anything that Christ has, or anything that you have experienced in this life, Christ understands and has experienced as well. But the only difference is that Jesus is holy and he never sinned at all, even though he was tempted. And because of this, he was capable of dying on the cross for our sins. See, in order to satisfy the wrath of God as a perfect sacrifice, you know, he needed to be a sacrifice that was without blemish, that was without sin. This is why Christmas is really significant. This is why whenever we come to church and we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth, it is significant to know that this baby was born into this world and so that one day he would die on the cross for our sins. And through our faith in Jesus Christ, we can be saved and we can have forgiveness of our sins and we can spend all of eternity in heaven with him. This is something great that should bring us joy. And when it brings us joy, it glorifies God. You're familiar with John 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Except through Jesus Christ, we are able to find find salvation. This is a promise that should bring us joy. And this is why Christmas is significant. Especially I've seen the angels appearing to these lowly shepherds, proclaiming the good news to them. Even though they were lowly, despised, and undeserved, they received the message and they had joy. So again, how is God glorified through Christmas? Number two, God is glorified through Christmas when the good news of Jesus brings us joy. Finally, as we continue on in this passage, I believe there's one more way which we will see God being glorified. Let's continue by reading verse 11 again. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So when we get the idea that a Savior was born and come into the world, we would think that, you know, Jesus would be born in maybe a nice hotel, a nice inn, or even a kingdom or some sort of a palace. But here, as we read it in verse 11, it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So Jesus was born in a manger. Do you know what a manger is? A manger is a trough or some sort of like box where these farm animals would eat from. So they held dirty animal food. So, I mean, hopefully Mary and Joseph cleaned up the manger before they put Jesus in. But again, this is significant because God really works in a way that's contrary to our minds and just the way that we think. Just in the way how it's contrary to how God would make an announcement. We would think that God would make an announcement to the big important people in this life, but God made the announcement to lowly shepherds. And at the same time, we see that God chose to bring Jesus Christ into the world, born in a manger. And this is contrary to what we think a big king or a big savior would be born. Like, we'd think they'd be born into a kingdom or some sort of palace. But at the same time, by doing this, God is glorified. And it brings God glory. Let's continue read on with me in verse 13. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So imagine if you were the shepherds. You know, you were just quietly just tending your sheep in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, boom, you see an angel come proclaim a message, and you start getting scared about what is happening, because there's a bright light, there's a loud voice, there's a proclamation of a good news, a good message, and then, boom, again, the whole sky fills with thousands of angels crying out and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And again, all of a sudden, boom, they disappear. And everything is silent again. And maybe you can hear like the crickets chirp, and it's a little bit awkward. The shepherds turn around to each other and be like, "What just happened here? What did we just hear? Is there really a Savior that is born?" So what did they do as a result of hearing about this? They believed it. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made to us." So the thing here is that, again, we're asking the question about how is God glorified through Christmas. So already from this point on, we already said that God is glorified through Christmas by choosing the undeserving. Then we said that God is glorified through Christmas because of the good news that of Jesus Christ should bring us joy. But here is the third reason. So again, how is God glorified through Christmas? Here's the third point, third way. God is glorified through Christmas by the way we respond to the good news of Jesus. God is glorified through Christmas by the way that we respond to the good news of Jesus. How did the shepherds here respond after hearing this good news? It says in verse 15 that they said, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." The shepherds obeyed God's call to go and see Jesus. And they didn't say, we're a little bit tired right now. Why don't let's wait until the morning and then we'll go see Jesus. It's already late in the night. Or they didn't think about, what's going to happen? If we leave, what's going to happen to our sheep? No one's going to take care of them. Maybe wolves are going to go attack them and steal them away. No, they didn't worry about that. They went immediately. Look at verse 16. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. They went with haste. They went with immediacy. And I think there's probably a lot of details that are left out in this narrative. Because it probably took them a long time to find Jesus. Because, the angels never gave details about which manger or which area to look for. So the shepherds, they probably had to look in every manger that they can know of until they finally found Mary and Joseph. Again, Bethlehem was a very big city. But somehow, by God's grace, they were able to find Mary and Joseph. So let me ask you, whenever we hear the good news of Jesus Christ, or whenever we are reminded about the gospel, how do we respond? Do we respond with immediacy? Do we respond with haste? Do we respond with eagerness? Or maybe we've just grown up in church for a long time, we've heard this over and over again, and it just becomes just something that's just too simple. I already know about it. We don't think about it again. See, we can struggle and go through these things. This isn't new information for us to hear. So my encouragement for all of us is that every time we hear the good news, every time we go through this Christmas season, we should respond to the gospel with immediacy, eagerness, and haste. By doing so, we glorify God. Or maybe you're here today, maybe this is the first time that you're in church, or maybe you haven't been in church for a long time, or maybe you're not even a believer at all. My encouragement for you is to listen and to respond as well. If there really is a God out there who loves you, and 2,000 years ago, who sent Jesus Christ into this world, who would one day die on the cross for your sins and provide you with eternal life, if this is really true, then I pray that you would pray and consider how God really loves and cares for you and wants you to respond and have a relationship with him. So do we respond to the good news with eagerness and with immediacy? Just as we saw the shepherds who responded with immediacy, put down their sheep, put down what they were doing, and went to find Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the manger. I think there's some other type of responses that we can have that will glorify God as well. Continue reading on with me, starting in verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. So even the shepherds, after they had found Jesus in the manger and after they seen the Savior, what did they do? They went out and they went to tell everyone about the good news. Essentially, they evangelized. They shared about their faith. They proclaimed that Jesus Christ was finally born. And not only that, read with me starting from verse 20. And the shepherds returned. So they went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Not only that they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ, but they returned back to where they were before. They returned back to their flocks and continued to share the good news of Jesus Christ that way as well. And they praised God. So what does this mean? Believing in Jesus Christ, I think like sometimes we have this fear because we're like, oh, if I believe in God, then maybe God will call me to be a missionary overseas, or God will call me to be a pastor, and I can't do like the things that I want. But no, very often when God calls us to be a Christian, he calls us to return back to where we came from. He calls you to go back to your schools, go back to your workplaces, go back to wherever God leads you to continue to evangelize and share the good news. So returning to where we are, this doesn't necessarily mean that we are to return to our old sinful way of life, but rather we are to return to our physical place as a transformed being. See, for me, as a pastor, I don't have the direct access and direct relationships with the students and teachers in your schools. You do. As a pastor, I don't have the direct access and the direct relationships with your bosses and your coworkers and with anyone who you may interact with. You do. God can use you to return back to where you are to continue to share and proclaim the good news. So I want to ask you, do we respond to the good news by telling others about the good news, by sharing our faith with one another? And I know that a lot of us can have some fear in doing that because we fear being rejected by our friends and our families who aren't believers. But you know, what do we learn in this passage? The good news should bring us joy. You know, the angels said, fear not. If God is with us, we shouldn't be fearful of sharing our faith with other people. And by doing so, we glorify God. And finally, I think looking at the example of Mary, we see one more response that we can have that will glorify God. Read with me in verse 19. But Mary, now this is Jesus' mother, treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Pondering them in her heart. So what did Mary do? How did she respond to the good news? No, she pondered in her heart. She thought, she meditated and reflected upon everything that had happened when the shepherds came to visit them and explained to them how angels appeared to them and proclaimed to them the good news. She also pondered upon the fact that the angel Gabriel had appeared to her and said that she was with child, even though that she was a virgin. You see, the Greek word for ponder literally means to bring together in one's mind. So how do we respond to the good news? Do we ponder upon the good news? Do we constantly think about what God has done for us, especially by sending his son Jesus into the world to die on the cross and to be the savior of us and to bring us eternal life? Do we think and reflect upon that? Again, this isn't something that we should be doing once a year on Christmas time or on Easter time. This is something that we should do every single day of our life. By responding in this way, by pondering, just as Mary did, we can glorify God. Again, how is God glorified through Christmas? Third way, point three, God is glorified through Christmas by the way we respond to the good news of Jesus. Do we respond with eagerness and immediacy? Do we respond by telling others about the good news and sharing of our faith? Do we ponder about the good news in our hearts? So let's review everything that we have learned from this passage here in Luke chapter 2. Again, we had asked the question about how is God glorified through Christmas? And as we've seen, there are three ways in which God is glorified. So number one, God is glorified through Christmas by choosing the undeserving. God chose the shepherds to hear of the good news, and he also chose us as undeserved sinners. Number two, God is glorified through Christmas when the good news of Jesus brings us joy. The angels told the shepherds to fear not because of this good news of one day there be a Savior for us. And because Christ has come, this should also bring us joy. Finally, number three, as we just said, God is glorified through Christmas by the way that we respond to the good news of Jesus. So do we respond in the ways that we've seen the shepherds respond? Do we respond in the same way that we see Mary respond? See, Christmas, again, is about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the coming of our Savior, the Messiah. Through providing us with a way of salvation on the cross, God is glorified. God already did that work, but now God is continuing that work in each and every one of our lives right now. As we live out our lives as Christians, do we do so glorifying God? And as we live out our lives, do we look around and do we see how God is glorified as well? See, every Christmas that goes by should remind us about this message. It isn't about us, it isn't about gifts, it isn't about the stressful times. It is pointing back to God and how he is glorified through Jesus Christ. Let us bow our heads and glorify God through our prayers and through our response in worship. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that Christmas is just in a few days. Lord, as we take a break from our work, as we take a break from our schooling, as we have time to wind down a bit and spend time with family, Lord, may we also take this opportunity to reflect upon you about how you had given us the greatest gift that we can ever receive, your Son, Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we can have salvation. Lord, help us to see how we can be able to glorify you in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we respond to the good news. Father, I know that at times we can forget. I know that at times we can just feel so far away from you. But Lord, we thank you that you are God who loves us. And you, through your grace and your mercy, you welcome us back into your arms. We may have been away from you for a long time. But Lord, you know that you will forgive us. You will restore our relationship with you. And even through that, you will be glorified. Father, we want to praise you and continue to worship you in song. We lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.